Good morning. Good morning. The Holy Gospel this morning comes from St. Matthew's book, and it's chapter 6, reading from verse 5 to just before the Lord's Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
All right. Hi, everybody. Before I start, I thought I should point out my face. You might have gone, what is wrong with her face this morning? I've had an eye infection, and it's taking its time to clear, so everything's all right. But so you can stop wondering and can focus on the sermon, I thought I'd mention it. And I recommend you focus on the good eye, because that is beautiful. We are in the middle of a sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, and we have these fabulous booklets to make notes in. And if you would like to make notes this morning and don't have a book yet, Victoria's going to come around and give you one. So yes, if you could raise your hand, or Hayden, yes. There's also a copy of the Sermon on the Mount just in a booklet. If you would like that, then Mark is going to hand that out. So if you want the sermon booklet, you want Victoria, and if you want the Sermon on the Mount booklet, you want Mark. Wave at them as they have a look around. Okay, cool. A couple of weeks ago, we had a staff training day. Those happen at the beginning of each term. And Caleb and Billy were leading it. We were out at Mel's and Michael Brandon's house, which was very cool. And we always start the day with an icebreaker, which was really fun. And then we share how we all are this morning. And then we often have a time of worship and a time of listening to God for each other. And then this time, Billy said, how about we also do 15 minutes of pickling? Now, if you have been to church for the last 2 weeks, you'll know what I mean when I say pickling. Basically, Caleb talked about immersing ourselves in God's love in such a way as if we were a pickle in its pickle juice. And, you know, it just gets infused into its very core. So the idea is to spend time with Jesus in such, just in his presence, that we are infused with him throughout our very core. Okay, so 15 minutes of pickling. I was like, that's great. The sun is shining. I'm going to put a chair out in the sun, and I'm going to sit in God's love. I'm going to be silent. I'm going to quiet my thoughts, and then I'm going to receive his goodness and love as I sit in the sun for 15 minutes. Yeah, so that was the plan. Take my chair, put it out in the sun. I sit down. I open my heart. I enjoy the sun. I go, Jesus, I thank you that you are here. Would you fill me with your love? And I had a lovely time. And then I started thinking about dinner that I was going to cook that evening. I had already planned what I was making because we were having guests over. And so then I was like, hold it, hold it. This is not the time to think about dinner. I was meant to be pickling in God's love. Stop thinking about dinner. Okay, so I pull my thoughts back. And I again say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Here I am. I want to just enjoy your love. After about 10 seconds, I start thinking about the shopping I still need to do for the dinner in the evening. I start thinking about how I was going to set the table because we were having guests over and I wanted to make it nice for them. And again, I go, oh, stop thinking about dinner. This is time about Jesus. So I, you know, pull myself back again. I go, Jesus, I'm sorry. I want to pickle in your love. Can you help me just to stay focused on you? But after about 10 seconds, I start thinking again about the dinner for crying out loud. So then I was like, Jesus, this is not working. What am I going to do? And he says to me, Tabea, I love that you're excited about dinner. You are passionate about cooking for people. Let's dream about dinner together. So I spent 15 minutes thinking about dinner in the sunshine, and I felt God's love on me. And I didn't need to do what I thought I needed to do, you know, with the quieting the mind. In this moment, it was okay for me to dream about dinner because that was my passion, and Jesus shared my passion with me. Today, we're talking about prayer. And I reckon the reading has two parts to it. So, little visual aid. The first part, black, are verses 5 and 6. And it talks about not being like hypocrites. So hypocrites are people who pretend to be something that they're not. People who pretend to be something that they're not. I feel like we all sometimes fall into that. You know, we're trying to impress someone or whatever. Anyway, the hypocrites in this case, they want to be seen by others as holy, and therefore they do their praying in public places, street corners and synagogues. And so their desire is to be seen by others, and by praying, you know, in public, that is what happens. They basically get their desire. Yeah? This is what Hayden talked about last week. If you didn't hear that sermon, I recommend you go back and watch it because it was a really good sermon. Wanting to be seen like the hypocrites is natural and not necessarily negative. The problem is when we make that our priority. That is what Hayden talked about last week. Because what is a much better thing is to connect with God. And that is a much better reward for our very soul. So the wanting to be seen distracts us from connecting with God. Yeah, that makes sense. So Jesus says the better thing to do is to pray in secret, because then we will actually meet with the Father, and that will be a much better reward than the being seen by others, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just not as good as meeting with God. Dallas Willard, who we are reading alongside this sermon series, he says, prayer is a matter of the heart, not an event in the physical and visible world. Okay, prayer is a matter of the heart, not an event in the seen world. So the thought about what Hayden was saying last week about secrecy being a way of practicing the kingdom way of only wanting to connect with God rather than with, you know, getting distracted by worldly things is the first step. And then the second, and then I think prayer takes it even further. Because it says here in verse 6 that the Father who is in secret, or the Father who is unseen. He is in secret. He is unseen. That is why we want to pray in the secret place. God is not in the physical world. Yes, we have expressions of God in the physical world. We have creation, we have art, we have his written word. Of course, he is in the physical world. But, but when we want to connect with him, we need to do that in our spirit. Our spirit needs to connect with his spirit, and that happens in the secret place. That happens in the unseen world. So, what we were created for, I believe what we were created for is to live in relationship with God, for our spirit to connect with God's spirit all the time. And that connection happens spirit to spirit, and therefore in secret. Praying in secret, therefore, means connecting with God in our hearts with his spirit. Okay? So praying in secret is connecting with God in our hearts. With his spirit. That's the first part. And then the second part are verses 7 and 8. And here, Jesus talks about not being like the pagans or the Gentiles. And the Greek word that is used here for pagans or Gentiles is ethnikos, which translates to people who have no connection to the God who saves. People who have no connection to the God who saves. So often your Gentiles or pagans are people who were not Jewish. But in this case, it takes it a little bit deeper and goes people who have no connection to the God who saves. They have connection to other gods or whatever, but they're not connected with the one true God who we know saves, has salvation on offer for us. So because they are not saved, they're trying to make their own salvation happen through things they can control. That makes sense, right? When we feel like the world is out of whack and we need saving or something's not right, we try to control it somehow. So what people do here is they control with their words. They use a lot of words in their prayers because they want to make the gods hear them. The more words I use, the more likely I'm going to be heard. Okay? So don't be like them because there's no need. Jesus says here, the Father who already knows what is in your heart will hear you. Let me just read that. Sorry. The Father, got this, because he knows what you need before you ask him. He already knows before we ask him. So the invitation here is to come as we are. Because he already knows what we're going to ask, we can come as open and honest as we are. I reckon God's greatest joy is for us to spend time in his presence, being aware of him in our everyday moments. That is already a kind of prayer. Breathing deeply because we are safe in his presence, whatever our circumstances. He is already here waiting for us. And we can't make him appear by how we pray or where we pray how we try to control the situations. Instead, he's already waiting. He's already waiting for us to come and connect with him. So I reckon the second part is saying that prayer is about companionship with him. Companionship with God. So prayer is about connecting in our hearts with his spirit and about companionship with him all the time. Isn't that a beautiful image? So if our invitation for prayer is to connect with him on a deep level, then we need to understand our relationship with him. Who is God and who are we in relation to him? I noticed that in this passage, Jesus calls God Father the whole time through. He never says God, he never says Lord. You know, other names for God are mentioned all throughout the Bible, even in the Sermon on the Mount. But in this moment where he talks about prayer, about connecting with God, he talks about him as Father. And some of us have difficult relationships with our fathers, or we haven't been great fathers ourselves. So let's not focus on our worldly expression of fathers, but let's look at who God the Father is as he is portrayed in the Bible, the Father that Jesus knew. And he, the Father God, he is good. He is love. He always pours out his blessings. He is always for us. He is a person. Therefore, he is approachable. He is understanding. He is personable. There's the song. Oh, I'll come to the song in a moment. Love. True love is willing the best of someone else. And I think that is what God the Father does all the time. He's willing the best for us all the time. There's this song, which you all know, which goes, he's a good, good father, that's who you are, that's who you are, that's who you are, and I'm loved by you, that's who I am, that's who I am, that's who I am. And I think that sums it up. He is the good father, and we are his children, and that is what defines us. So if he is the good father and we are his children, that means we are loved by him. We are safe in this world because he is for us. He wants to spend time with us. He created us because he wants to spend time with us all the time. Let that sink in for a moment. What would it look like to spend time with a good father who wants to spend time with us all the time? So if it's about our relationship with him, then it doesn't matter so much how we pray or where we do it, whether we use liturgy or not, whether it's out loud or in silence. It's about putting ourselves in God's way all the time. He wants to connect with us all individually because he wants to be in a personal relationship with you. He wants to connect with you in a personal way that works for you. What works for me might not work for Victoria, and that might not work for Kevin, but it all works for God and me, and for God and Victoria, and for, you know? But I think what we're invited to do is to be intentional about it, to find ways to be present to him in our everyday life. Coincidentally, I was reading another book by Dallas Willard yesterday, which talks about Psalm 23, and he talked about, in the whole book, he talks about how Psalm 23 invites us to live a life with no lack, as if we're lacking nothing, because the Good Shepherd is providing everything we need. And at the end of the book, there's a chapter on how to plan a day that you spend entirely with Jesus. And I was like, that is so fitting that I'm talking about this today and reading about it yesterday. So if you ever need a book recommendation, Life with No Lack by Dallas Willard, I can recommend it. But he also basically said, we need to mean it, we need to want it, we need to be intentional about wanting to spend our lives with Jesus. And the way to do that is, The way to do that is first of all, a heart orientation. I want to, you know, be open to it. I need to want it. But then the second part of that is we also need to plan it. Because if we don't make plans, things fall off the wagon. So the way to plan it is to have things in place where we make time to spend with God, spend with Jesus, where we connect with him in prayer. And then the way to have a heart orientation is to spend the rest of our time also being open to what he has on offer for us all the time. Yeah? So here are some ideas. This is just the beginning of a list that could fill the rest of the morning. Yeah? So here are some ideas that were at the top of my head. Morning prayer time is a great way to plan time with Jesus, to start your day with the Lord, reading the Bible, praying. I personally am not very good first thing in the morning, so what I did for a long time was I went for a prayer walk. I got out of bed, and then I would start walking for half an hour, because that was a good way for me to connect with God first thing in the morning without falling asleep again. Planning silent times, where we sit in his presence in silence, not filling it with stuff, but just in his presence, like I tried the other day when I was, you know, pickling in his love, and then we were dreaming about dinner. But sitting in silence, yeah? Or even having a whole silent day or a silent retreat for a few days, if you're hard out, is a beautiful time of deeply connecting with Jesus. Soaking in worship music. Something changes in the atmosphere when worship music is playing. It's good to not do anything while listening to worship music and just sitting in his presence, for example. Communing with him through music. Having a prayer diary or journaling. Sometimes it's good to share our thoughts with him by writing them down or by drawing them. prayer meetings with others. It's good to have others to pray with. Join a small group, is all I can say to that. Having time of listening prayer, asking him a question, and then being silent ourselves to hear what he has to say. Caleb does this thing where his phone buzzes every hour to remind him to connect in with God in that moment. I've heard of people who have that every minute of every day. Maybe not the phone buzzing, where every minute they try to have a moment of connecting with God so that carries them into the next minute of their day. Using liturgy, having a set prayer or words that help you fall into his presence every day by being the same is really helpful for some people. I've started a new thing where I offer my thoughts to God all the time. So as I'm going about my day, you know, I'm cleaning or I'm writing an email, I interrupt myself and I go, oh, Jesus, I just feel a bit overwhelmed right now. What are your thoughts on this? Or, Jesus, I just had this conversation with this person and I thought it went really well. Thank you for being part of that with me. Or, and I know he already knows all these things, but because praying is about a companionship with him, he wants me to tell him anyway, because he wants us to connect in the everyday. Being open to listen to him during the day, as you're in conversation, having an ear open to what he's saying as you talk to the person, and, you know, let his words channel through you. Blessing someone else by cooking a meal for them, or doing a job for them, that is a way of connecting with God. If we do that with him, then we bring his kingdom into someone else's life. Bring our relationship with him into someone else's life and bless them. So this is just the beginning of a list, as I said. And I reckon in your small groups this week, you should all share a little bit what else it is you do in your prayer times, because that can be an inspiration for somebody who might be looking for something else they would like to try. I watched this video of John Ortberg and his daughter talking about prayer this week in preparation for the sermon. And they shared something which I thought I'd pass on because it is probably relevant for a number of us in this room. Because she is a mum of two children and she also works. So her life is pretty full on 24/7. Yeah, there's no time in the day. She's basically going all day. And he asked her, how do you do prayer well? And she said, recognizing that God is with me in my everyday is already a kind of prayer. So recognizing his presence in the midst of everything she does is already a kind of prayer for her. And then she also has the ones, you know, where she goes, help, or can you be with me in this moment? Or, you know, just the short thought prayers. And then she says, I also try and do a morning prayer time, you know, get up before my kids and have a morning prayer time. But most of the time when I try that, the kids get up early too. And then they interrupt, you know, my prepared time. And of course, you know, the first reaction is often to get annoyed. But she is training herself, she said, to either invite the kids in and go, let us pray for our day together this morning. Or, I just read this verse. What do you think about this word? Or, you know, make it kid-friendly. Or she stops her prayer time and just gets on with her day and invites God to be part of it anyway. And I just thought that was so freeing because she was clearly deeply connected with Jesus and yet she made the prayer thing not something unachievable. It was achievable what she was trying to do. And so whichever season we're in life right now, God wants to connect with us personally and in a way that works for us. So the question is a little bit, what season am I finding myself in, and how do I fill my day, and how much time do I have for things? And then to go, okay, God, so how do we plan to connect each day, and how can I continue to stay open as I go about my everyday? John Mark Comer also had some great thoughts on prayer, and I wanted to share them with you as a summary of what I just said. Oh, I'm feeling a bit, okay, great. We managed. He has 4 points that he says prayer is. Oh, first I had a quote. No, I've already lost his quote. Excellent. His four points are talking to God, which basically means being intentional, making time, finding space to be with Him. And then the second one is talking with God. Which basically he summarizes in being open and honest about what is on your heart. Come as you are, not as someone else, because God already knows where you're at. And in this is also included bringing what is on your heart for other people, because sometimes we can be open and honest about ourselves, but it's a bit hard about praying for other people and how we are desperate for them. Or it's the other way around. We find it easy to come to God and be open and honest about how we feel about other people's sickness or the hardship that they're going through or what is on our hearts to pray for them, but we don't really want to talk about ourselves that much. And yet God is inviting us to do that too. And then the third point is listening to God. So taking time to be silent and invite Him to speak. And then the fourth one is being with Him, where words fall away and we enjoy His loving presence, where we connect with our spirit with His spirit. Another great theologian, Richard Foster, he says, when we pray, we begin to think God's thoughts after Him, to desire the things that He desires, to love the things He loves, to will the things He wills. I thought that was a great summary of what would be, that is where I want to get to. That my I pray all the time so that my thoughts are aligned with God's in such a way that they're the same. Now, Martin Luther, who is another great German we know, he said, the more work needs to be done, the more time I need to spend in prayer. And he did 3 hours of prayer every morning. He got up before dawn to do 3 hours every morning to pray. And the busier he was, the earlier he got up to pray some more. So the more work he had to do, the more prayer he needed, he reckoned. And so the more time he set aside to do that, which I thought was very inspiring and makes perfect sense to me, because our life is so much easier when we're deeply connected with God and we don't do everything by ourselves. Instead, we work out of the strength that we gain from spending time with Him. So through prayer, God is offering us life in fullness, life in His presence, life in freedom. And that is possible for all of us, whatever age, whatever job or no job, whether we're sick or healthy, in the night, during the day, all the time. But we're invited to want it and to run after it, that life of freedom, that life in His presence, and to keep trying different things, to keep looking for Him in our everyday, to train in prayer, to not give up, to pursue Him with all our hearts, the loving Father who wants to spend time with us all the time. Amen.